Welcome back to The Sesh. I'm Kendall Ray.
And I'm Janelle. And thanks for joining us for another episode. Or if you're new here, welcome to The Sesh. We are so happy to have you here.
Yes. Today, we're going to be talking about school. We know that a lot of you are going back to school, or maybe your school situation is kind of crazy right now due to what's happening with COVID. Mm-hmm. And so we want to talk a little bit about, you know, how the world has changed when it comes to the education system, but also our personal experiences with school. We both have learning disabilities. We kind of have an interesting take on that. And then, you know, our college experience and grad school experience for Janelle.
Definitely. I feel like we also can kind of have this special connection because we went to the same college. And
we did.
So I don't know. I kind of think there's like another level of like being able to talk about your experience because we went to the same one. And I actually read the other day that one of you guys goes to the college that we went to, University of Northern Colorado. So what's up? Go Bears.
Go Bears.
But yeah, we're really excited to kind of dive into what our experience was like. And we kind of just wanted to have a conversation about the education system in general, about testing and standardized testing specifically, and, you know, how everything is being affected by the pandemic. And so we're going to kind of dive into all of that. But first, of course, we do have our spicy topics for the week.
Spicy.
Yes, we have an update on Ellen again. Mm-hmm. This is becoming the Ellen update show.
Dude, for real. I feel like every week we're talking about, oh man. But there's, I mean, it's kind of a big deal. So new stuff keeps coming out.
Yeah. And I mean, hopefully this is the last week for a while
that about Ellen. We won't be talking about, people are probably like, shut up about Ellen. No, but this is interesting.
This is a big break in the story though.
Okay. So recently Ellen had a big staff meeting over Zoom with everyone that she works with. And I guess it got really emotional and she announced that three of her executive producers were being fired.
Good.
And so one of them, Ed Galvin, that was the guy who was being accused of sexual harassment. He's being fired, as well as Jonathan Norman and Kevin Lehman. So three of the big executive producers right off the bat, boom, gone.
Wow.
So I think that's good and needed.
That is, yes.
And then I guess someone who was at the meeting said, quote, DeGeneres was emotional to the point of tears and apologetic as she addressed more than 200 staffers. According to multiple sources, DeGeneres told the staff she was, quote, not perfect and realized that in the effort for the show to run as a well-oiled machine, sometimes leaders were not as sensitive to human beings as they should have been. She added that reading disturbing allegations about the atmosphere of the show was heartbreaking. And then she also addressed the rumors about how people are, you know, saying you can't look her in the eyes or talk to her or anything. And she was like, that's completely crazy. And she was like, please talk to me. Please look me in the eyes.
Yeah. We brought that up last week and we were kind of like, how much of that is true?
Exactly.
Like, that sounds so ridiculous.
I know. And they say that about a lot of celebrities, but I think, you know, like you said, a lot of the stuff online is not correct, you know?
Yeah. There's, yep. Absolutely.
Bullshit. So,
the cool thing, though, is they are going to now have Twitch as one of the producers, which is really cool if you're into the show at all, or if you've seen Twitch on So You Think You Can Dance.
Yeah.
He and Ellen did that famous dance a long time ago. It's really good if you look it up.
Yeah, he's really awesome. I really like him. And I think it's like a perfect fit because he's been on the show for so long and, you know, he deserves it. I feel like he deserves a shot at this. So,
yeah. And I'm glad they're getting a clean house. I mean, I think that was a good move. And yeah, I don't know. I'm glad that she's actually acknowledging it. I really wonder if she's going to say anything at that first episode, though.
Yeah, so do I
kind of think she will. I don't think she's going to hide away from it.
Maybe. I mean, I think it would be a good idea. But then, like, I think you had mentioned in the last episode, do you want other people who don't know about this and who are, like, you know, not following the drama to tune in on the first season and be like, oh, Ellen's being mean? Oh, okay. Well, shit, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, how much will she address exactly what it is? She could be like, we've gotten some negative feedback. And I mean, to her credit, most of it isn't about her. It's about these producers and they're accusing her of knowing about it. But at the end of the day, there is no proof that she did know about any of this.
Right.
Which, you know, it's her show. And then how they've treated everyone during the pandemic is definitely, I mean, she should have some responsibility for that. And I
agree.
I hope that she does address some of that.
Well, she did end up, I think this is so stupid, but she gave them 5 paid days off to use at their discretion. And then birthdays off, as well as paid time for doctor's appointments and family matters. I'm like, okay, why was that just now implemented in 5 days?
That can't pay your rent, though.
Who cares? Yeah, I know. 60% pay cut, that's an issue.
I mean, this is the Ellen show. You guys have a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. And I also think it's weird that, like, even if Ellen is too busy to deal with this, why doesn't she have an HR department that these people could have gone to and been like, I have concerns about racial discrimination or sexual harassment?
So corrupt that the HR is corrupt. I mean, is that common? I thought HR is like supposed to be really.
Yeah. I mean, that's not supposed to happen. I mean, there's like, you have to protect employers. Yeah, so.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a good point. I didn't even really think about that.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. But yeah, let us know what you guys think of this show, and will you be tuning in to watch Ellen this fall? Let us know in the comments below. But also, we have another spicy topic about that's kind of a spicy, it's kind of like a...
It's a little sad spicy.
It's like a little sour topic.
It honestly. Is kind of sour.
Maybe we should have like a sour.
Like, yeah. Yikes.
We'll give it, instead we'll give it a...
Oh, hell yeah.
For Jenna Marbles, because... Mm-hmm. She has, I mean, we've had a kind of an iconic moment with Jenna.
Yeah.
Not in a good way, I guess.
Yeah, not in a great way. If you don't know who Jenna is, she's a YouTuber. She's been on the platform for over a decade, and she has like over 20 million followers. So she's huge. She's huge. One of the, you know, OGs of YouTube. And
first YouTuber I ever watched.
Yeah, same. And she's really, I think, well known for being her true self still, and, you know, not changing as she's gotten so famous and big. She's really stayed down to earth and very relatable. So. Mm-hmm. Back in June, she announced that she was going to be leaving her channel and ending her Jenna Marbles channel, basically, and may or may not return, but it's not looking like she will anytime soon.
And she talked about why, and I'm sure a lot of you have seen this. It's not new news or anything, mm-hmm. but she had brought up some things that she had done in her past that were not intended to be mean. She's not a malicious type of person, but they were insensitive jokes, mm-hmm. jokes that came off as racist. Mm-hmm. And she owned up to them, completely apologized for them, and basically said, I'm not on the internet to hurt anyone. And if I'm hurting people, I think it kind of freaked her out to even think like, wow, I can't believe I did that. And yeah. she truly felt really bad about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she took that responsibility for it. And I think that made a lot of people gain even more respect for her than yes. she already has.
Right.
But unfortunately at that point she decided, yeah, to leave her channel. And I think we all thought it was going to be kind of a break. But now it turns out that after 5 episodes of the Jenna and Julian podcast, mm-hmm. since she left of Julian to do it alone, mm-hmm. She has decided to end the show completely. So that yeah. was pretty big news in the podcast world. They're a big show.
Right.
We know that a lot of you probably watch them.
Yeah. I mean, I was obsessed with them. I watched yeah. them like every Monday on their, you know, whenever they put their video out. And I guess I'm not, you know, really surprised, because I think that Julian did do a great job of carrying it on for those few weeks. But it's hard to do that as a solo person, yes. as an inner, you know, they're an entertainment podcast. And it's I'm sure it's really hard to do that. And he's probably, you know, realistically thinking, what the hell? Or maybe he doesn't want to do it without her. Who knows? Yeah. So,
I mean, their type of show is really set up to be two people. Yeah. I mean, it's like a couple's show.
Right.
We were heavily inspired with this show
yes.
by Jen and Julian.
Oh, they're a huge inspiration.
They just have so much fun. Anything yes. goes. They'll be cooking chili.
Yes.
And having singing competitions yeah. and Shark Tank. And
right.
we really eventually want to do that type of fun stuff on our show. Because when they're having fun, I have fun watching yes. them have fun.
Exactly.
And it's like, hard to have fun when you're by yourself. Yeah. Like, how much fun can you really get into alone? Right.
Totally. Exactly.
He tried to incorporate viewers yeah. To, like, you know, get their stories and
yeah.
kind of, but even that is hard. You're still reading and the person's not there. And I felt very stressed for him several times while watching the podcast episodes, because I could just tell he was like overwhelmed. And I sure. cannot imagine carrying a podcast by myself.
No.
There's no way I would do it.
Yeah. That would that's be so really, really hard to do.
And I'm pretty sure they do completely uncut. So that's yeah, extremely do. Hard. Extremely hard to do. So yeah.
So I mean,
I understand.
Obviously yeah. like really sad. I think a lot of people are super bummed, but I think it's really necessary for her, and she needs to just be a human, like she's saying. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm not going to be an internet person for right now. I just want to be a human. And she mentioned she's getting the help that she needs, whatever that may mean. And yeah, I'm honestly like really proud of her for making yes. that step, because I'm sure that has been weighing on her for so long. And I'm sure the amount of like guilt she's honestly feeling for, you know, letting people down mm-hmm. and whatever. And so I just wish them the best.
Yeah, I do too. And I think mental health first. And I totally understand burnout and being overwhelmed and really worried about making a mistake. Like, I am always hyper worried that I'm going to accidentally do something or say something that offends someone or hurts someone. Like, mm-hmm. that's not my intention on the internet either. So I get where she's coming from with that. And I think she's been on for so freaking long. Like, you can't expect someone to be on entertaining us for the rest of their lives. Like,
no.
You know, and maybe she will come back. We don't know. She did say that maybe her and Julian will do something else in the future.
Right.
But for now, she just wants to be a normal person. Imagine that.
Yeah, for real. Just be a normal person.
So, yes, of course, we wish them the best, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on that as well.
Yeah.
We have one more news story that we decided to talk about this week since we're talking about school, and we found this to be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically what's going on, we all know that because of COVID, all of the schools closed down back earlier this year, and in the UK, those who were applying to colleges couldn't take their entrance exams, like kind of like how we have SAT and ACTs. Those are called A levels and GCSE, I guess is what they're called. But anyways, they couldn't take them. So what they had to do instead, they were instructed to, their teachers had to give them a grade based on their performance and what they, you know, thought they deserved. And the grade was submitted to the, you know, education department. And then it was determined that all the teachers had been scoring their students too high, and that it was like kind of messed up because the, you know, for whatever reason, they thought that teachers were being too lenient or giving too many students good grades or something. Yeah, I'm sure. And also I would like to point out the fact that you can be a great student and have terrible testing and like get a bad score on a test and be a student.
It doesn't mean you didn't try or you didn't pay attention or you didn't go to class or you don't care. Yeah.
Right.
We're both horrible test takers, so I definitely understand that. But just the idea of a teacher having to be like, I wonder, like, let me just give them a grade. Mm-hmm. I would feel guilty as a teacher. I would be like, I can't do this because I don't know what they were going to get. They could at any part in the semester, like, what if they had a rough couple of months and they did bad in the first part and then they, like, really got it together or, like, decide they want to save their grade. That gives them no opportunity.
Yeah.
That's being completely judged.
Mm-hmm. Especially, I think it's weird that it's up upon the teacher to determine really if you're getting into a college or not.
Yeah.
Like that's really, it should be upon you to determine, you know, your performance is determining it.
Yes.
So I thought that was weird. But then the worst part about it is because everyone was like, oh, the teachers are scoring too high. They had to like create an algorithm, and basically they put all the scores through this algorithm, and then the new scores popped out. And it was found that 40% of the grades given were downgraded and only about 2% of the scores were increased. So 40% of the students got lower scores and were hurt by this algorithm.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Which is so terrible.
So frustrated.
See, like for real though. That's so stressful. I can't even imagine being a student going through that, honestly.
I know. I'm really thankful to personally not be in school right now. And I really feel too. For all of you who are in school and trying to get your education during this craziness.
Mm-mm, not good. So then they found that the algorithm was messed up. And they found that the main group of people who were impacted by this were students who had generally good performance in school, but were less wealthy from their backgrounds and therefore went to schools that had less funding and naturally did not perform as well.
Wow.
Like, isn't that insane?
That is. That's absolutely bizarre.
You're already at a, you know, disadvantage, and it's crazy. I guess those who attended private school were at an advantage compared to those who attended diverse schools or, you know, public schools.
It's really just rich schools versus schools that don't have like tons of funding.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Sometimes lack of parental support. There's several reasons why, but
there's tons. So I guess kids who attend private schools were twice as likely to receive an A as those with public schools. So again, it's just...
That's just judging people.
It's totally, you know, rigged, this algorithm. Mm-hmm. I guess there was one student in particular who apparently had already been accepted into two top engineering and science universities in Britain, and all she had to do was take the test in order to secure her spot. But, you know, her teacher ended up ranking her, and her teacher gave her an A, but the algorithm changed her physics grade to a B, and the schools ended up taking away her admission.
That's unbelievable. So I would be terrible. So I would be irritated.
Livid.
Any of you being affected by this? I'm curious.
I know we have a lot of UK followers, or just like in general Mile Higher does. And so if any of you guys are being affected by this, let us know, because I'm really interested in, you know, how this whole thing is going. And it's insane to me. At first, the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, was like, oh, there's nothing wrong with the results. And in fact, students from disadvantaged backgrounds are even more likely than ever to go to a university as the results of the grades, which I was like,
it's just a lie.
That's a lie, dude. So students actually started protesting and like,
good.
Were like, fuck this. And there was enough uproar that they ended up reversing the decision. And now they're going back to the original scores from their teacher. Thank God.
Yeah. And they should all be given a tiny inflation for their grade for how ridiculous this is.
I mean,
these are desperate times and you can't screw people over on top of it.
Well, now the universities are saying, oh, because of the all these people got so many good scores, now we have too many students admitted into our universities. And so now we may have to like deny some students and make them start later on because we don't have enough physical room to fit all of you people.
Oh, so yeah, I mean, that is a problem. I see the problem.
I guess, especially with COVID and stuff, that could be a problem for sure.
You can't overload. Huh. No. Wow. So, God, this has just caused such a mess, COVID in general. I mean, you know, we wanted to bring up the debate of whether or not we should be going back to schools. You know, a lot of people are starting school for the first time in months. Mm-hmm. And should we be doing that? And, you know, I don't know. What do you think? Should we be going back to school or not?
I don't know. I feel like that's the real question here, because a part of me is like, you need to go back to school because of the fact that a lot of families rely on school to take care of their kids during the day. Mm-hmm. You know, families have to work to put food on the table and to pay for a roof over their head. And so, you know, it's not fair to be like, nope, now all of a sudden you're a babysitter, or you better find a way to afford a babysitter. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, do you put like a price on like health? I don't know, because I feel like sending kids to school is just like, it's germ city in school. They're kids.
I know. And that's the whole thing, is the debate of whether or not kids are super spreaders, because kids are super germy and kids wipe their hands on everything.
Everything.
They snot and they, you know, do everything disgusting that there is. And, you know, you'd think that they would be spreading really fast. So why would you, it's like a cesspool in the schools, mm-hmm. but a lot of schools have been arguing, and researchers, that they're not super spreaders and they actually spread COVID in way smaller numbers than anyone else. But you know, we don't really know. We're figuring this out as we go. And a lot of teachers are very concerned about their health. In fact, some teachers are making obituaries already, which is mind blowing to me.
It's and so sad.
I really, really feel for them. I have friends who are teachers. I was going to be a teacher before I ended up doing podcasting and YouTube for a living. So, I know how little they have to work with as it is. Their job is so stressful. On top of that, they have to worry about risking their lives. Mm-hmm. They're not getting paid enough for this shit. It's
absolutely
unreal.
Not. Yeah. And I think another point is like, okay, kids aren't super spreaders, but there's hundreds of staff members in the school.
Right.
Running around, custodian members, other staff members, teachers, counselors, you know, those who work in the cafeterias. There's tons of adults running around to make sure the school runs. So it's okay, well, what happens when 2 out of the 200 staff members get COVID? You know, does the school shut down for 2 weeks? What happens? I don't know.
Yeah. And just like the logistics behind keeping everyone safe in the school is so difficult. Mm-hmm. Like they have to just sanitize and clean all the time. The janitors are working way harder. There's more of them hired, which is good. But yeah, it's a lot of work to make sure, because people, they're moving around a lot. You go, especially in middle school or elementary school, you like go around the school a lot. You go to PE, you go here, you know, it's a lot of kids coming out of different areas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have, I guess they've tried to break it off where some schools do like Monday, Wednesday, some kids go Tuesday, Thursday, whatever. They have like certain days. And they're keeping people, some schools are doing 3 feet apart. Some people are doing 6. Can you imagine going to school? And I mean, some of you are like, yeah, I'm there.
You're like, yeah.
But I cannot picture being 6 feet away from everyone at school, and even lunch tables.
Like, I know.
It's almost apocalyptic looking at the videos.
They have to sit by themselves.
Yeah. Like all away from each other and wearing masks.
Really,
that's
bizarre.
Another thing is, how are you going to keep all these kids masks on? Like the young ones,
no,
they're gonna be like, this is hot. Like I even sometimes pull it out when I'm in the store without even thinking about it, because it's hot or whatever, and I like start taking it off, and then I'm like, what am I doing? Like, put it back on. But these are kids. They don't even understand what's going on, some of them.
Well, and the ones like middle schools and stuff, like what's to say they're not gonna be like, hey, I dare you to take your mask off and cough or blah blah blah. You know,
oh, they will, or they'll like see a girl and be like,
"Cooties,
let me cough on you."
Oh my god, that's
I mean,
so
they're
bad.
Children. How are you going to make sure that they're always 6 feet apart? And there's so much that goes into it. Not to mention, what if someone in the school gets COVID? I don't know how protocol works for that.
You have to, I think, well, let's see, John, my boyfriend, his mom works at a school and she was telling me that if, you know, one person in the class gets COVID, then that whole class quarantines for 2 weeks. Because I think they're like all in little tiny cohorts. Like they're supposed to be traveling all in groups together.
Okay.
So it's less, you know, mixing and matching as possible.
And I wonder if they are like going off to PE and changing, or are they all in one room all day having lunch in there? I mean, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but
I don't know. I think it's different for everyone in every school. That's the other thing, is like the protocol's different everywhere. So that's confusing and unhelpful.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like one of those things where I don't really know what the answer is. I don't think anyone really does, because this is something we've never lived through. Mm-hmm. None of us in this generation have experienced, or this, you know, grouping of generations has experienced a pandemic like this, where you can't be in public and you can't, you know, it's been like since the plague or something, right? Or the Spanish flu or something.
It's crazy how
a long time since there was something like this.
Yeah. We don't know how to deal with this.
No. So we're kind of learning as we go. Because on the other hand, there's a lot of arguments for going back to school. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, we did make the argument of parents have to get, they have to have someone to watch their kids and they have to go to work. Mm-hmm. But also, it's really detrimental to kids to have that much time away from school. And the online learning thing is not good for the younger kids. Like, it works well for college and mm-hmm. high school because you can be mature enough and, mm-hmm. you know, but having a Skype call with kids, especially a classroom, like I know in the beginning they were trying to have like 30 kids on a call all together to do a lesson. Yeah. And like, I guess only a few kids started showing up for each one.
And
yeah. So it's really hard. And there are a lot of kids with learning disabilities or other disabilities that they really are making progress at school because they're working with people every day. They have a routine and this has really messed up everything. Mm-hmm. So I do get that argument as well. Like, life's got to go on at some point. How long are we going to live like this? We got to do the best we can. So I don't know. I want to hear all of your opinions on school right now.
I also want to bring up the fact, I just thought about how a lot of times, you know, there's tons of kids that come from terrible backgrounds in their house and their home life is a complete mess or is dangerous or whatever and abusive. And so school is an escape for them and school is a place to be safe. Or maybe they rely on a school counselor to be able to talk to on a daily, or a special teacher, or, you know, or that close friend, or for lunches. There's just so many factors that play into this.
They really are.
It's so complicated. I feel for people on both sides. I really do. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the right answer is, really.
I don't either. I mean, this is just a mess, and I really feel for everyone that's in the education system or in school right now.
Yeah, for real.
It's a mess. But we will discuss more about our thoughts on the school system after a quick word from our sponsor. Which is not really a sponsor. It's actually our moms.
Yeah. My stepmom and her mom are starting a dog collar business.
Yes.
It's really cute.
It's an Etsy shop. They've been working on it for a really long time. And they're looking for people to try out their first batch of dog collars, mm-hmm. which are really cool. Josh, can you bring them over?
Their Etsy shop is called Cork and Collar, and I'll leave the link in the description so you guys can check it out. What's unique about these collars is they're actually made from cork.
Yes, and my mom put a lot of thought into the material she wanted to use for these.
Yeah.
This has been something they have been working on for a while,
trying to get them
exactly how they wanted them.
Yeah.
So they are made of cork, which is a really cool renewable resource.
It's made from a tree.
Yes, cork trees.
Mm-hmm. But they don't harm the trees at all. In fact, it's actually helpful for the trees. Every 9 years, it regrows layers of cork. So it's a totally natural product.
Vegan.
Mm-hmm. And it's biodegradable. They're really, really lightweight, which is something I like, and really soft.
And cork is also a bug repellent, which is so cool.
It's so cool. I know. It's really awesome. Like a natural way to repel mosquitoes and stuff.
So not only are they really eco-friendly and functional, they're also really cute. They have a bunch of snaps on them where you can customize for the season.
Yeah.
Or we have a bunch of crystal snaps. Mm-hmm. So all different options if you are into crystals and you want to like give your dog something that's going to help with their anxiety or whatever else they may need.
You can customize
a bunch of different crystals.
So many different little snaps. Mm-hmm. And they're also adjustable. So they're really cute. They're well made. Handmade. Our dogs have been wearing them for months and mm-hmm. they seem to really like them, and
they hold up well.
Yeah. So we're really excited for them.
Yes, definitely.
We wanted to shout them out for sure. Yes. So check them out. Again, they'll be down below.
And again, they are really looking for feedback. So feel free to leave a review if you do purchase from them, or, you know, let them know what you think. So yeah, I'm really excited for them.
Yeah, super excited. I hope it'll do well. It's a very cute idea.
So it's definitely not unpopular opinion to say that the American school system is kind of suffering and that a lot of people think that it can be improved. Not only that, our numbers show that it has really struggled in the past 30 years, even. Like 30 years ago or around there, we were one of the top, if not the top, education system in the world. And Finland was way below us. And Finland actually changed a bunch of things about their education system and became number one. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would be interesting to kind of look at what Finland does compared to the United States and what we could have learned from them.
Mm-hmm.
There's this great documentary. I can't recommend it enough. I've said it so many times. Where to Invade Next by Michael Moore. It's so good. There's an actual clip of this part I'm talking about, this school's part, where he talks about and he goes and visits other countries and shows just how their schools are different. It's mind-blowingly different how other people do school in the world and how much more helpful it is and how it's also, I mean, just skyrocketed their numbers. So we'll link that clip below if you're watching on YouTube. But basically, the first thing they did was get rid of homework. They got rid of homework completely. There's no extracurricular activities
schoolwork. I wonder if that's still true because that documentary is several years old.
Right? I think it's still, I mean, I don't think they would change it. They're like very set over there. If it's not true, let me know.
That's crazy.
That is how they were doing it for a long time. That's how they improved. They don't have any standardized testing. They never did, actually. And they think America is bizarre that we do that. I remember one of the things that they talked about was how much is just cut out of the American school system because we don't consider it important. We put so much emphasis on passing, you know, standardized tests and getting students good scores on that because that's what we're ranked on, that we cut out all this other stuff like languages, a lot of languages, and like think about how many languages kids in other countries speak.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure in most countries it's required to learn another language in school. That's just like a given. Like you immediately learn at least one language, if not two more.
Yes.
And in America, we give language classes and we provide people opportunity to learn language, but it's not in the same sense that I think other places of the world are. I mean, a lot of times it's people just take it because, and they don't even start taking it until high school, first of all, which is like crazy to me that I can't even imagine how much easier it would have been to learn a language if you started in elementary school.
So much easier.
Versus trying to learn something all over, you know, in high school. I'm not saying you can't do it, but I don't know why we do that. And then a lot of times it's just required to get into college. So I think that's why people do it here. Like I took Spanish and I hated it because I didn't want to learn another language, but because I hated my Spanish teachers. They were like terrible.
I had one good one and one really bad one. And I did so much better the year I had a good one that really cared and got excited about it.
Yeah. I was actually really bummed. I would love to be able to speak another language or learn how to speak another language. But
that'd be a really nice skill. And it's kind of embarrassing to hear other people when they're like, oh yeah, I speak four or five languages. Absolutely. And I'm like, it's very embarrassing. It's so American.
Oh, it's so American. Yeah, it's very annoying.
But yeah, we don't put a lot of emphasis on that type of stuff anymore. We've completely, like a lot of high school curriculums have cut out civics completely, which is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. And then poetry as well isn't something that we focus on. That's a big part of the Finland school system.
Interesting.
They still have an appreciation for fine arts in high school, which we do, you know, do the Shakespeare thing. But we don't get what they get. Like they get a much more in-depth look at everything. And I thought it was really interesting that they don't have homework. And I think that's a great concept.
Homework is stupid. There's so many studies that show it's literally useless and it does more harm than good.
It literally does. They were explaining that when they cut the homework, it just, you know, kids were so much more motivated to learn while they were actually in that setting, knowing that they don't have to go home and continue it. Mm-hmm. And it leaves more time for you to be a kid. I mean, think about it. You only get your childhood once. There's so much time I wish I could get back that I was sitting in middle school like, and I don't remember even what I fucking learned, a lot of it.
Yeah.
And well, I could have been outside or learning a life skill.
Well, that's what I'm learning saying to cook. Is like, it's not that school is bad. It's the way that we teach, sitting in a classroom for 8 hours a day and staring at a projector or whatever. Like that's really hard to do versus I think a lot of other countries put emphasis, and there are schools that are like this in, you know, the US now, but they're private schools and that's not the typical curriculum, but the whole idea of learning, you know, to through using your hands, through doing things, through making things, through growing things.
More of a Montessori approach.
Mm-hmm. And they have them here, but again, it's not very popular and it's really expensive. So
yes,
but it's, you know, really weird to think that kids who are supposed to be sponges and absorbing their environment are supposed to really learn sitting, you know, in a seat for 8 hours a day and, you know, not being able, you know, only getting like 45 minutes for lunch and recess. Mm-hmm. That's not enough. And so I think that's a lot of reason why this whole thing of like everyone's being diagnosed with ADD, which is true. Like, I think it's way overdiagnosed, but at the same time, I think we're seeing a lot more of it because of the fact that our school system is just not necessarily built for like most kids to succeed.
It's not serving most people that are in it, which is a shame. Especially when you look at how other countries are doing it and they're seeing such good results. Like, why wouldn't we follow suit? Don't we want to be the top? We're like really low. What are we on the list?
I'm not exactly sure. Like, I'm looking at this one list right now.
Yeah, and it seems to be, you know, different on every website.
Kind of differs, but this one says we're 20th, the top one being Finland.
I think we're even lower than that, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I think it, you know, it depends on what factors you're looking at, obviously. But
it's because we're so focused. Like, Americans treat school like a business. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to get the kids through, get good grades so that we have good scores, so that you get funding. And, you know, it's all a cycle. And it's not really about the student and their experience and growing people and building our society. This is our future society. Why don't we care? And you know what's so annoying? I was thinking about the other day, that so many people are so anti money going to schools, and they like want even less to go to schools because they don't have their own kids in school. So they're like, well, why do I have to pay for school for other people's kids? There's a lot of people that don't want that. And I understand to an extent, but most countries and most people in other countries want this. They're patriotic. They want their schools to be the top in the world. They want to compete. They know that means investing in the students.
Well, and you're investing in the future of your country. Like, those are going to be the people, those are going to be the doctors that take care of you when you're an old piece of crap. Like,
exactly. And it's that selfish mentality of like, if it doesn't affect me, I don't care. Where, you know, that's what's halting us. That's what's holding us back from other, where other countries are. And they're really outperforming us. It's showing. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. It says right here, 30 years ago, America was the leader in quantity and quality of high school diplomas. Today, our nation is ranked 36th in the world. That's for high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a lot of our statistics also are based on graduation rates. Like, we're really obsessed with like the graduation rates, the dropout rates, and which I find interesting because I don't know, like, why is it graduating is like the specific thing that like makes you worthy or not of like getting funding or whatever it is. Like,
yeah, we really rank people's worth based on, you know,
test scores. Well, don't you think that if a school is struggling way more, that they should be getting more funding to help boost the school rather than it's like, oh, you live in a wealthy area, you get more money. It's like,
well, a lot of people make the argument that schools do get plenty of money. We actually do spend a lot in America on schools. So why are we so underperforming?
Well, we spend money on weird things.
Yeah, schools. We definitely spend money on weird things. But, and I think money is a huge factor in it. I just think there are some other things too. It's the way that we are treating people just in the communities around the schools. Lack of parental support because they're so busy trying to work so much.
Yeah.
Or just continuing the cycle of poverty.
Yeah.
A lot of kids rely on school for internet and things like that. And, you know, it's just,
I think there's also something to be said about the fact that if you grow up in a household where education wasn't something that was, you know, either a priority or available to your family or whatever, for whatever reason, you know, I think it's more likely that it's harder to make that a priority for, you know, the generations to come. If that's kind of been like a tradition in your family, that education is not something that is typically valued in your family, then, you know, it's hard for you to all of a sudden be to decide, I'm going to be the one that works really hard to get my education. Like, of course that happens and that's inspiring, but I think it's, you know, that it's the cycle that we were talking about.
Yes.
It's the cycle of poverty that we need to break.
Poverty. Yeah.
And the school system is built on, you know, boosting those that already are mm-hmm. prone to do well and are set up to have an advantage, and then, you know, kind of leaves the others that are disadvantaged in the dust, which is really, really disappointing, because a lot of times you can't, you know, you have no say in where you're going to school.
Mm-hmm. I know. And I mean, maybe your parents can afford a really nice, fancy private school, and you're going to have that advantage in life over right. maybe someone who's in a public school. You know, what's really interesting that Finland also does is they completely banned private schools. You cannot pay tuition for school mm-hmm. in Finland. It's all free. And because they did that, that forces the rich people in each area to pay for the public schools to make right. sure that their kids are getting a good enough education. And therefore the kids who are disadvantaged get to benefit from that. Not only that, they're around other kids with money. They're yes. able to see themselves, you know, possibly growing up like one of them, or, you know, they're less segregated. We almost have segregation in a way between,
yeah.
you know, incomes.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Totally. I think that's a great point, is you're grown up in this bubble, whether that's, you know, super wealthy high school or a super poor high school. And you kind of grow up around those people, and that's kind of all you know. And again, when you leave, you continue to kind of hang around those specific types of people. Mm-hmm. And instead of, you know, having a melting pot of people and having, you know, all different people from all different backgrounds and all different cultures and all different socioeconomic statuses, and, you know, trying to mesh people to, it's weird that mm-hmm. we are segregating in a way mm-hmm. that it almost sets us up to be segregated for life, really.
And that's work. The way they want it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother discussion.
Okay. Yeah, seriously. But some other factors that people often bring up is, like, it's the teachers, maybe they aren't being paid enough, so they're not motivated. And I think that's a big, big part of it. But I also heard someone talking about how it's the 10-year program that's a big deal, because that ends up keeping a lot of bad teachers. There are bad teachers, like in any job. There's mm-hmm. people that don't care as much as others. And you know the difference when you're a student in the class, like, who, you know, who your good teachers were and who your bad teachers were. And right. normally you perform better in the classes that had your good teachers yeah. in it. And so a lot of teachers bring up the fact that some people have gotten that tenure, which means you're like grandfathered into the school, exactly. basically. I mean, you'd have to really fuck up right. to be fired. And that's a problem as well.
Which I think is really dumb, because as our society is changing, I think the education system is changing, and what is acceptable for a way to act around students and what is not is changing. And so mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, teachers who have been teaching for 40 years, who taught one way, you know, 40 years ago, mm-hmm. Sorry, but that's probably not going to work the same now. So yeah. really, you should be held extra accountable. Like, I remember this one teacher I had in high school. He was a creep, and he was an asshole.
we all had a creep.
And I like went to complain about it, and they were like, "He's been here for a long time." Yeah. I'm like, that even more the reason to talk to him then. Stop being a creep. You've been here forever. You should be mm-hmm. know to not be creepy.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a big problem. And I mean, a lot of people, it's good, and it does give them job security, and, you know, it's good in that sense, but you want people to constantly adjust, like you were saying. Like, you have to relearn. In any other job, if you're a doctor, you can't just be like, "Well, I went to school 40 years ago, so I'm just going to pretend that's all I know."
Oh my God,
like,
no.
You can't do that. Or think of like a tech support person. They have to constantly relearn the new technology.
Oh, and counseling, in order to keep up with mm-hmm. your licensure, you have to prove that you're doing some types of trainings every year. You have to keep up with what the latest is when it comes to that type of stuff. And I think education is one of the most important ones.
Because mm-hmm, we're figuring out new ways to learn all the time.
Exactly.
And we're not applying those a lot of the time, because we're so stuck in our ways.
I think some teachers are, you know,
yeah, they try what they can.
They're, you know, taking the steps to educate themselves on what the newest, you know, things are and the newest trends for schools and stuff like that.
And how much can you do?
Right. But that's hard
when you're on school curriculum too. Like, you're expected to have this, that, and the, right. like,
you don't get to choose what you teach.
No. And that's one of the things, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more later, but I was going to be an elementary school teacher, and I did 3 years of college for that. And that's one thing I realized when I was in there, is the lesson plans are so strict in the curriculum. And I was like, I'm not going to have a lot of freedom to like influence these kids the way I want to. Mm-hmm. Cause there's so much for them to do. There's so much like busy work, and it's just, it's a lot.
Yeah. So there's specific topics that you have to cover. There's specific ones that you're probably not allowed to cover, is my guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the topic of teachers really are underpaid. And I think that does make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Some teachers are way, way underpaid and have way too many students. That's the other huge factor, is our schools and our communities are growing so fast. And we don't have enough schools for them. So our class sizes have gone way up. I mean, I bet your class in first grade was like 23, 24 max. Now it's like 33, 35.
That's crazy. That's so many kids per teacher.
Yeah. I mean, one of my friends, she was in my wedding. She is a teacher and she has to teach in a portable. I'm not sure if she's still in the portable. For a couple years she was, though, which is like outside of the school and it didn't have the main air conditioning. So it was hot as fuck. And she had like 35 kids and she'd only been teaching for like 2 or 3 years.
That's insane to me.
I started like freaking out when I was going through the education program, being like, I don't know if I can handle that. And hearing how hard it was for people that were graduating, I was like freaking out. And of course, like, 'cause of YouTube and stuff, I ended up deciding to switch.
Right.
But it's just a really difficult job. They really are underpaid. I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, they really are.
We need to be using our funding in much better ways.
Yeah, and also I'm so sick of people calling teachers like heroes. Like, I'm sorry, but they didn't sign up to be heroes and lifesavers and put their life on the line for, you know, violent things that happen in schools and COVID and stuff. Like, I understand what you mean by like, yes, teachers do influence people and that's amazing. But at the same time, like, it is not their job to be like the counselor and the security guard and a teacher. Like,
yes,
they are not getting paid enough for that. They shouldn't
be expected to do that. I get what you're saying. Yes, they are heroes in a lot of ways.
They are heroes in a lot of ways, but I don't like how they have the pressure to like, they have, mm-hmm. they're like pressured to be like, you know, I feel like heroes in a lot of ways are like are selfless and will like, oh, it doesn't matter about the money. I'm mm-hmm. doing it from my mm-hmm. heart. And that may be true for some teachers. But at the same time, at the end of the day, this is a job. And it's okay to be like, look, I'm passionate about my job, but I'm not going to do it for free. I'm not going to be a hero just saving kids. Like, at the
end
of the day,
this stuff.
This is my job. I have to make money on this. This isn't fair.
Yeah, they have to support their own families. And, you know, when you have students that are like hungry and or you don't have enough supplies for your classroom, it's just ridiculous.
And I think the more that society is like, oh, they're heroes, that, you know, they're great, it kind of, it makes people think like they don't need help. They can figure it out
because
they're so good. They're super heroes. Like,
no, they're like being forced
they need
to do
help.
So much. Yeah, and especially now that we've had so many, we have a huge gun problem in America.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Damn, that's very scary. Yeah. That was something I was considering before I went into teaching too, is like, I got to make sure I can protect these kids too. And I can like function in a situation like that, not have an anxiety attack and just fall on
the
ground.
But that's
you
not
know?
Part of your
that's what you sign
job
up
description
for.
As a teacher, to be worried about having to, you know, stand in front of your kids and risk your life. Like, you may do that and that may be a part of you as a teacher, and that's incredible and wonderful. But mm-hmm. It's so unfair how, you know, little funding they have for how much they're expected to do.
So yeah, I think all of that really factors into why our schools are struggling. But another huge part of why we're struggling is that we expect kids to all kind of be the same type of student, mm-hmm. and we don't understand, and we don't, really make sure that everyone gets their own personal learning experience, and kids with disabilities often really struggle. So we both have experience with that. So we kind of wanted to go over our personal experience in school from kindergarten, mm-hmm. of kind of what it was like. So do you want to start?
Sure. So I started kindergarten when I was six, but I was really, really shy when I was eligible, like old enough to go. And so my parents were like, you know what? She's not ready to go to school yet. Mm-hmm. So we'll hold her back. So,
cause you were really shy,
really, really shy, like debilitatingly shy. And so they were like, you can't go to school yet. So I'm really old for my grade, which I kind of like. It's fun. Yeah. You get to like do everything first, yep. I get to drive first and drink first and whatever. So that was cool. But yeah, I mean, elementary and middle school were, they were okay. I never really loved school, like at any age. I was never one of the kids that like loved going or anything. I mm-hmm. always like remember that on the first days of school after summer, I would like cry going to school and like mm-hmm. hated the summer reading. And
yeah, who didn't hate the summer reading?
For real, what the fuck? I hate summer reading.
Other than the kids that like read now
as
adults.
For fun.
Yeah. Good for you guys. Better people.
But yeah, so I went to a pretty big middle school, I guess you could say. And I had a lot of anxiety around like separation anxiety at the time. My parents were divorced and I was in third grade, but in middle school, my mom moved pretty far away from where I had grown up. And so I only saw her like once a week, and I already had, you know, bad separation anxiety my whole life. But I was, I guess, like really nervous even in seventh grade. I remember to go to school and I would like cry a lot at the beginning and like have to go in to see the counselor, I remember at one point. And then the counselor like made me go into my history class with tears in my eyes still. And oh, she was God. Like, she's having a rough morning. Just don't worry about her. I was like, this is so embarrassing. I want to jump out this window right now.
You know, all the kids are looking at you like, what's wrong
of course.
With her?
Everyone looks at like, and then of course the teacher's like, sit down. We were just talking about this. We're on page this. I'm like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
We wipe my cringe tears from my eyes. So mm-hmm. anyways, that was kind of, it was more like emotionally hard for me younger when I was in school. But then the academic struggles really kicked off at late middle school, early high school.
Well, I think that's a lot to do with your high school in particular.
Yeah.
She went to one of the biggest high schools in the state, if not the biggest.
It is the biggest.
Is it? Mm-hmm. I thought so. And it's almost like a college, and it's the expectations there are crazy.
The competitiveness is unbelievable.
Off the charts.
I went to a high school that was in an area that's very wealthy. There's a lot of rich families who sent their kids to that high school. And therefore there was a ton of being stuck up and, you know, what's the word? Entitlement.
Yeah.
I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And it was very clicky. It was really competitive.
Yeah, you
whether
hated
that's
it.
Education wise, we were, you know, always performing well, or sports, we were always in the top for something. And I am not athletic and I am not that good at school. So I didn't
not
fit in very well. No, not competitive. So I really didn't like it because, again, the clickiness was outrageous where I went, and the bullying, not that I was necessarily bullied. I wouldn't say I was, but I saw so many people, other people getting bullied. I was just like, this place sucks. Like,
it sounded terrible. My school was not like that.
Yeah, I hated it. And my grades were suffering as well because I would try really hard, but for some reason would, you know, still end up with not great grades. And in my household, C's are not allowed. You only have A's and B's. And if your grade drops to a C, all your shit's gone until you bring it back up to a B. So I was like constantly getting grounded because my stupid grade would like drop to a 79. And I'd get a text from my dad like, oh, just check Power School. Your grade's a C. Give me your phone.
I'd get in trouble for C's too, though. More in middle school. My parents towards the end of high school were like a little more lenient about that. But they used to, it was my mom especially, they would say no hooks, because that's what our grandpa actually would say to them. Which, by the way, some people were asking, her dad is my mom's sibling.
Brother. Yeah. Their
brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Her mom, my dad, siblings.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, I mean, I guess everyone is different on like what grades are good and what not. But yeah, that was our family. We couldn't get C's, but I would always, my grade would drop to a C and mm-hmm. I would get in trouble.
Me
and
too.
So, it was, I came to the point, I'll kind of get into, this is where like my learning disability kind of comes into play. So it was junior year of high school, and I had been trying really hard to get good grades and to, you know, improve. And there was at one point, I remember it so well, I was taking a biology test. And my mom was like, all right, we're going to study together for like weeks in advance. I'm going to make sure you do really well. Like, we're going to nail this thing. I was like, okay. So we like studied so hard and for days and days in advance. And I went in there and got like a 68, and I was so devastated. I remember I was like, oh,
the worst.
I'm like, I'm dumb. And then my other friend, of course, like crammed the night before and got like a B. And I was like, this literally doesn't make sense. Why am I trying so hard and sucking so bad still?
Yeah. And you can't help but compare yourself to other kids
of course
that
you
you're
can't.
Around.
Yeah. So I was just came to the conclusion that I was dumb. I remember being like, well, I literally think I'm just an idiot. So I convinced my parents to kind of get me a test done by a psychiatrist about, I was like, something's going on here. If it's not, then I literally am just dumb. Either that or something's going on. So I got this big test done, and it turned out that I have ADD and a really low reading score. The guy was like, he told me, he was like, yeah, Janelle, you stick as a junior in high school, your reading score is about an eighth grader. And I was like, sick. I was like, that makes sense. So
yeah, mine's about that too.
Yeah. But actually it really helped. I was able to get a 504 and kind of figure out ways.
Which is what?
A 504. I don't know if you guys know what an IEP is. Are there two things that are I don't know the exact like legalities of it, but they're basically laws that are in place to keep those with disabilities, you know, having the same sort of
chance, opportunity
as those who don't. So I qualified. Yeah, exactly. So I qualified for extra time, and student notes was another thing I qualified for, and that was incredibly helpful.
Audiobooks.
Audiobooks was really helpful. And then when I got into college, I really kind of found my niche, I guess you could say, my way of learning. And I was really able to excel for that. But I genuinely think it was because of the fact that someone told me, you know, this is what's going on. This is why things are harder for you. I was like, oh my God, that was so helpful.
Just that validation.
Because I was like, oh, I'm not dumb. I mean, I really was convinced I was an idiot. That's a horrible feeling to have. So
yeah, it is. It's very damaging for your self-esteem.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. And so you decided to go into psychology. So yeah. That was her major in college.
Yep. That was my major in college. I had an undergrad in psychology.
And that's probably also why you performed better, is it was so much more interesting to you. I mean, you love that.
Yeah, so. I did. And I think college, one thing I will give my high school credit for is the fact that I think they always pride themselves in being like a college prep high school. And I really think they kicked my ass. And so when I got into college, I actually wasn't really that overwhelmed. I had kind of prepared myself, I felt like, for the workload. And so I think that was also really helpful. But yeah, college was good. I really enjoyed it. For the most part, I loved it, honestly.
So much that you went to grad school.
So much that I went to grad school. No, I always knew I would need to go to grad school because I wanted to be a counselor, and the type of counselor I wanted to be, a licensed counselor. And you need to have your master's for that. So grad school was always something I knew I was going to have to do. And yeah, I just graduated like a few months ago, and my degree is in clinical mental health counseling. So I'm technically an unlicensed counselor, and I love it.
So if you're in high school and you're struggling and you have a learning disability or some other issues that are preventing you from being able to do your absolute best, don't give up. You can adjust. You can get help. You can do this.
It gets better. Like, I promise you guys, if you're miserable in high school, like, it gets better. Life gets so much better.
So true.
I don't know why people play up high school to be like, so fun. Like, I feel like it's so played up to be like a great time. And
I think for some people it is. Some people really peak in high school.
Well, I certainly didn't.
I definitely didn't either.
No, I definitely took a dip in high school.
Oh, yeah.
So you have kind of a similar experience in some ways.
Yeah, I have more to say about earlier education. Yeah,
definitely.
My school experience started in kindergarten, obviously. And that's where I was first diagnosed with my learning disability. Actually, I got diagnosed in first grade, but my kindergarten teacher was my tutor. So she figured out. I used to go to her house and get goldfish. I loved it. I used to never really think too much about like getting a tutor or having special, you know, someone coming to get me from class to read with me. I just thought, oh, they want to read with me. Like, I had this old lady. She was so nice. She passed away and I was so heartbroken when I found out, but I loved her so much. Jance. Shout out to you, Jance. She was literally J-A-N-T-Z. It's like Jance.
That's her last name?
No, it was just Jance. I don't know. I just called her Jance. But she was just a volunteer from the neighborhood across the street that would come over and read with kids that needed Jance. Reading help. Yeah, she was awesome. But I didn't really realize it made me like I had special needs or anything. Sure. It was just kind of very low key. I remember my parents, because I had to go get actually diagnosed with ADHD from a psychologist. Mm-hmm. And I went to this big fancy office and they like do a bunch of testing on you. And
yep.
Got the diagnosis, and I struggled a lot with reading issues. I'm also dyslexic. I get backwards letters, even when I talk, which there's another type. I forget what it's called. I don't know. But there's a way where you can perceive things wrong as well. Mm-hmm. So reading's always been a struggle for me. That's why I don't read huge sections on Mile Higher or on this show. Normally Janelle and Josh do that, because reading gives me anxiety because I just have... like trauma from being reading in front of other kids was really hard. And
horrible.
Whenever I did read in the regular classroom and I wasn't in the special ed rooms, we'd do that popcorn game. And terrible. I know so many of you know the popcorn game. The
popcorn game has shaved years off my life. I swear to God.
If you don't know what that is, it's like every kid with reading issues, worst nightmare, but everyone's sitting in a circle and then you'd like read something, you'd read a little section, a paragraph. And then when you're done reading, you want someone else to start reading, say, popcorn Matt or popcorn Annie or something. And then the other person has to go and just start reading out of nowhere. So you're not prepared. It throws you off. You can't even prepare. And like, I used to try to practice things that I was going to read out loud so that I can memorize them.
Me too. I would read in advance. I'd always read it in like a line advance because I was like, if I get called on, I don't want to screw up a word. Cause so many times I would mess up a word and then people would be like,
Laugh. Kids are mean. Like they can't, kids are mean. They don't understand. And you know, the problem with that is you're spending so much time trying to memorize the next line, but you're not even listening to what they're talking about.
No,
and
so like, have a discussion
your
after.
Hour is just an anxiety, useless mess. Exactly. You know, you learn nothing. No. And that's what a lot of my education looked like in all areas. I have so much so much anxiety around being at school, learning what other people thought of me. And I definitely thought I was stupid. So the big thing for me was, I went to an out-of-district school. I actually went to the same school district as Janelle for a while. When I first, my parents heard it was a better school district, so they open-enrolled me, even though it wasn't where we lived. And I went there, and I loved it. I had great friends there. I had great teachers. That's where Jance was. I never had an issue with my learning disability until third grade when they changed the districts for schools and everything, and funding changed. So they no longer had the funding for special education for out of district kids. So my parents had to send me to a different school for fourth grade. And I didn't understand that. Like when you're a kid, you don't understand why. I would literally thought they were like, this kid's too dumb to be here.
That is so sad. Oh my God. I could totally want her see anymore. I would probably think that too. Like we don't want to spend our money on her. She's useless.
A waste. Yeah. That's exactly what I thought. That
is so terrible.
And like, I know my parents had tried to explain it to me, but I don't think they really understood how confused I was at the time and like how traumatic it was for me. And I went to this new school, and at the time I had mono, so it was really thin, and like I had these dark circles under my eyes, and I had a lot of like scrapes that wouldn't heal because I had like immunity deficiency issues. So I had no friends. I went from having a lot of friends to no friends. And then I was like thrown into their special education program, which was completely different. Like the amount of time you were out of the classroom was like almost double.
Wow.
Like I felt like I wasn't even part of a class for fourth and fifth grade. Fifth grade was probably worse, but yeah, because in fifth grade I had a real bitch of a teacher who did not like me. She almost was like clicky with all the popular girls. Did you ever have a teacher like that who was kind of like in their group?
Yeah,
I was like, you're one of them. And I always just felt like I'd come back from the special education room and I'd be like so out. I would just sit there. She'd be like, oh, you can sit over here until we're done with our whatever we're doing. And you know, I feel like I missed a ton because a lot of teachers didn't take the time for me or just kind of passed me on to the next, especially with math. Like I struggled with math so much. I still don't know basic multiplication tables or like even addition off the top of my head to a certain extent. And I think people would get frustrated and just be like, all right, let me just move her along.
Sure.
And my parents would like complain enough to be like, please let her pass.
So sad.
So yeah, I had a really bad taste in my mouth about being in special ed and it totally tanked my self-esteem in ways that still affect me to this day. Like someone will say something on YouTube and be like, you're stupid. And I'll take that. I'm like, yeah, I'm stupid. Like,
am I stupid?
Wow, I must be stupid and everyone else knows and I just didn't know. And you know, it like still hits you to this day because when you're a kid, that stuff, I mean, stuff what happens to you when you're young really does make a difference.
I think
in
everyone can, you know, attest to the fact that there has been something that someone has said to you when you were young and maybe it doesn't seem like a big deal to someone else, but to you, it still scars you and you still think about it and you still cringe when you're reminded of it.
Still things from like fourth grade. Right. Yeah, totally. So when I went to middle school, I continued with that. I didn't really know I had a choice not to do it. Mm-hmm. My parents had me in there and I was super, super embarrassed in middle school because that's when they would start, you know, someone would come in and be like, all right, my whole group, come with me. We're going to take this test. And then I found in middle school, it was like they were barely trying to teach me. It was like there was too many kids or something because it was a lot of feeding us the answers, like full on. They'd be like, all right, guys, the choice is either A, B, C, or D. Is it which one? And someone would raise their hand and be like, D. And they'd be like, try again. And until someone would get it right. And then we'd all answer it together. And sometimes I'd get 90 to 100% on tests that I didn't even, like, I didn't understand the material at all.
Wow.
It was fucking crazy. Like,
that's almost like worse because you're just giving, you're making kids think that they're doing great and they're getting good grades and you're making the parents think that they're doing good. But really, if you're just giving them the answers.
And then it's like when, you know, CSAP would come around, which was like in Colorado, our like standardized test before ACT, yeah, or whatever. Like, it's like you do it yearly. Mm-hmm. You know, I would bomb those.
Right.
My parents would be like, whoa, she's way under grade level.
Dude, I always bombed those too.
And I would get somewhat decent grades. It depended on the teacher and how much they would let me get special help and everything.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But yeah, I mean, I had a really bad taste in my mouth about education in general. Thought I was dumb. Went into high school like that. And at that point I was like, fuck this special ed stuff. I am not going to be in this anymore. I was so embarrassed. I was like, high school is my new start. I'm going to be seen as smart. No one's going to know any of this about me.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I struggled hard. Like high school, I had a lot of tutors. I did summer school. I failed things. I, you know, just struggled my whole way through. And now looking back, I'm like, why didn't you take the help? It's nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah. But at the same time, you can't like blame yourself for not doing it because like you said, I mean, high school is really hard as it is. I mean, honestly, I think it was probably like the hardest 4 years that I've been through, like just socially, and everyone's just like going through hormonal changes and no one wants to be judged. Everyone's trying to figure out who they are. And like, it's so, so bad for so many reasons. So when you already, you know, throw struggling with school on top of that, or like being made fun of because you're learning a different way than everyone else, like I would probably have been like, screw that. Like, I'll just suffer in silence.
Yeah. And that's what I did. And yeah, my parents were frustrated. I know it was like, they were concerned about whether I'd get into college. That was a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I barely made it through. I mean, I did make it to college by the skin of my teeth. I didn't do that bad, actually. I think I got like a 2.7 or a 2.9 leaving high school, and, you know, ACT, I got like whatever you need to get accepted
at
the base level. But yeah, struggled the whole way through.
Yeah.
And I think it's really sad the way that, you know, especially now that it's probably so much worse now that there's way more kids than when I was a kid, probably getting even less attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I wonder what it is like. I don't know. Did you find that your college experience was different?
Yes. I really enjoyed college. And I did way, way better, just like you.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to UNC and just loved it. I really did. I had a great experience there. And it's kind of funny because in our state, the big schools are like CSU and CU. So that's where like most of our like people we knew in high school went. And I remember I told someone I was going to UNC and they're like, oh, University of No Other Choice.
Yeah, I've been told that one too. It's cute.
I mean, that's kind of what it's known as. But I don't think it's that bad of a school. I mean, I really liked it.
Oh, and I loved it.
I had some shit professors. But like the actual school, it was really fun. And just getting to focus on what I was interested in. And for me, I was doing education classes. So I kind of went in, I kind of picked that major because I did want to influence people. And I love that I get to do that in my job now every day to so many more people than I would if I was a teacher. Mm-hmm. But one of the main reasons I did it is because I thought it'd be fun to kind of like still be connected to my inner child. And like, I really loved babysitting. So I was like, oh, and I want to have kids. Like I really want to be a mom one day. So I thought, oh, I would love being around kids all day.
Right.
But then it's like, there's so much more to that. Yeah. And I thought, you know, I'd only have to know as much as like a third grader at max or like fifth grade if I'm going to be a second grade teacher, you know? And I thought, you know, like that I'll be smart enough for that. I got to be smarter than the third grader, right?
Shut the fuck
and
up.
And I was 18 and you know, God. I think that's way too young to decide it's what you're so going to do for young. The rest of your God. Life. It's absurd.
That's a whole different topic. The pressure of like, hey, decide what you're majoring in. What are you going to do? Oh, you're going to change your major? Wow, you wasted a year of your life. Wow. It's like, oh my God.
I know. It's so irritating. So yeah, I kind of just picked teacher because I was doing some stuff my senior year where I would like go volunteer at this elementary school and I loved the class and I just was like, I want that. It was fun, but I was only there on the fun stuff, you know, like.
Sure. You're not there when you're staying up, you know, till 11 p.m. grading papers and making lesson plans and not getting paid for it.
Honestly, when we started learning about standardized testing my junior year of college and how that works and how you're responsible for all these students' test scores and stuff, that's when I really started being turned off and freaked out by it. Because I was like, that is so much responsibility. I don't want parents coming after me because I don't even understand their test questions. Like, I can barely read. Like, this is not going to work. So, I think I would have probably been a good teacher. I love kids. I love people. But it would have been extremely, extremely hard. And I'm happy doing what I am now. There was a lot of things I found out about it once I was in the major. I just didn't like, and it's not what I thought it was.
No, it's very strict. Mm-hmm. And I understand why it needs to be to some degree, because like we have to have some baseline of what, you know, students in America are expected to learn. Otherwise, someone from here could learn this and someone from here could learn this. You know?
And so, I mean, that's the argument for standardized testing, is making sure we get an even education for everybody.
But like standardized test, it's the format of the standardized testing. Like that is such crap. Why can't you, you know, prove your worth in your education by doing something else, like a big project or... I don't know, a presentation. I know that, and then I know there's some of you people who are probably listening to this being like, oh my God, a presentation, I'd rather die. I'd rather take a test than do that. But like, I think that goes to show that like everyone really does learn different.
Yes.
And like, maybe you do best with the standardized test. Maybe you're thriving in a test setting.
Maybe you're good with essays.
Maybe you thrive in essays. Great. Maybe you thrive in presentations and speeches. Awesome. Like,
that's another thing the people in Finland do, is they don't have any multiple choice tests. There's no multiple choice answers. Oh. It's like all...
That's other things, like
graded individually.
Our schools teach you how to memorize, and they teach you how to take tests. They do not actually teach you the information. You are you are typically, you know, shoving as much info as you can into your head, literally spewing it out on a piece of paper, and then you leave the classroom and it just leaves your head and you never think about it again.
Yep. Yeah. Think about how many times you've spent studying for weeks for something and... Matt, do you remember any of it?
Try taking it now. No.
Yeah. You'd get like a 20%.
Right.
I mean, it's like, what's the point? You're not really actually teaching anything. I don't know. It's very interesting. And I'm curious about what you guys think should change in the American school system to improve it, or what you would like to see change as far as something that affected you in your education journey. I mean, everyone has such a different experience in school, and maybe you're listening to us and really can't relate because you love school and you're super smart and good for you, man. For you. I'm jealous.
No, yeah.
I know a lot of kids that it was like, you know, they're just naturally really smart, thrive in a public setting, don't get anxiety, and are great at sports. So high school,
that
middle school
was my boyfriend.
Yeah, I was literally thinking of John in my head just now.
Oh, man. Yeah, he was quite the opposite. We went to the same high school, and he was thriving, and he was definitely more popular than I was. He had, you know, friends that were in the popular group, and he was a varsity football player and had good grades.
Like the quarterback, and you were sleeping in your car.
And I was sleeping in my car on my off periods. They're like, damn, John, what are you doing? Dating Janelle. She's sleeping.
She'd be like FaceTiming me up at college, like sleeping in the car, eating Taco Bell, and be like, all right, I'm going to go take a nap, and then be like, recline back.
Senior year, I basically gave up on having friends because I just wasn't vibing with anyone at my school anymore. So I just kind of became a loner and was like waiting to graduate and get to college, and I spent a lot of time in my car by myself talking to Kendall, and it was lit. So if you are sleeping in your car on your off periods, I'm telling you, it gets better.
Yes Don't take high school too seriously.
No,
for sure.
No, it really doesn't even matter in the end of the day. Like, no one's gonna ask about your stupid high school grades.
Yeah, and your self-worth should not be determined your performance.
Oh, God,
and for so many of us, I know that it is.
Looking back, I'm like, whatever, dude. Like,
I know
there are so many bigger things to worry about. I'm not saying like screw school, don't do it. Obviously, like take it seriously, but that means something different to everyone, and there's no one way to do it correctly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was our spiel on school, guys.
Our spiel on school. I was gonna say, is there more to spiel about?
Is there more to talk about?
I think that's kind of it for right now. I definitely want to hear your guys' feedback on all of this. We've gone over a lot
of shit. Yeah.
And definitely check out that clip, please, that shows the schools in Finland. I love it. It shows other countries too, I think, in that one clip. And right again, it's on YouTube, so it's so good. And I think it will really drive all this home for you.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
But that's it for us today, guys. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you on the next sesh.
But until then, keep it fresh.